Bible's book of Ephesians chapter 4. Lord wants his people to laugh every now and again. It's good for you. It's good for you. And you best have a sense of humor if you come to Elizabeth Baptist Church too. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to try to, I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know if I can do this fast or you know, you never can sometimes tell about how long you're going to take. But I'll try to keep this in a good time frame. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through verse 11. Verse 7 through verse 11. I'm going to title this section, He Led Captivity Captive. He Led Captivity Captive. And that comes from verse 8 in text. All right, let's go ahead and read our text and we'll have a word of prayer. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of grace. Wherefore he said when he ascended on high that he led captivity captive. And the idea of that is he led a multitude of captives is the idea of it. And he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, talking about Jesus, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege of preaching tonight and for these people, Lord, that chose to come out this evening. And we're entering a new year. And Lord, we're thankful to be able to be in your house tonight. And we pray that you'd use this message, anoint these lips of clay, Father, that they would be able to do so in an understandable manner, teach in an understandable manner. We pray this year we just continue to see people saved and added. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, we're going to entitle this, as I said, He Led Captivity Captive. That's going to be the main thrust of the message tonight. Let's go ahead and work down through the text and beginning at the verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace. Unto every one of us is given grace. Now, God gave us grace in salvation, didn't he? God gave us grace in salvation. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15:10, you know this, you should. If you don't, it'd be a good one to mark in your Bible. And this is the Apostle Paul. He wrote this text, and here's what he wrote. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Y'all believe it? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So, God's grace was given to Paul. God bestowed his grace upon him. And another thing about that is God bestowed his grace upon you. And if it wasn't for God's grace, where would you be at? You'd still be in your sin. What made you to differ from other people is God's grace. God chose to lay his grace on you, and that's exactly what he did. And I'm thankful for, above all things in this world, I'm thankful for God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, where would I be at tonight? I'd still yet be in my sin. So always, every time you think of it, and you should think of it every day, thank God for his what? For his amazing grace. Now, Paul loved it. Paul talked about grace. He opened every epistle with grace and closed with grace, except for the exception of Hebrews. So he was a great man of grace. He believed in it. And he taught it more probably than any other preacher. And I'm grateful for his ministry that he had all the way down to today. We need to be thankful for God's grace. Okay? Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:10. I read it, but I want to read it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am what I am. By what again? Grace is what made you to differ. Which he bestowed it upon me. He said, the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, But then he said, what did he say he did? He labored. Grace don't make you sit. Grace makes you want to labor for him. You see what I mean? There's a lot of people that teach that basically that grace, you know, is a license to sit or a license to sin. Grace is a license to serve. And grace makes you want to serve him. I'm not serving the Lord to get saved. I'm already saved. But God's grace motivates me to want to serve him. I don't serve him in order to get, I'm not serving to get saved like I've already said. But I want to serve him because I love him and because I want to please him. Because it wasn't for him, where would we be going? And look at what a bleak life we would have if it wasn't for the grace of God. Where would you be tonight if it wasn't for God's grace? So God gave us, let's go back to Ephesians 4. God gave us grace in salvation. He did that. Now, you don't have to turn to this one, but in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, this statement is made, who made you to differ from another? Who was that again? God did. So that should keep every one of us from being arrogant. And if it wasn't for God, we'd still yet be in our sins. But he's bestowed upon us his amazing grace, okay? All right, let's read a little bit further. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and let's read on down in the text. But unto every one of us is given what again? Grace. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, I think this gift, of course, salvation's a gift and all the salvation blessings are gifts. But I think the main focus here is on spiritual gifts. And that's what he says here in the text in verse 7, and to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. God has bestowed upon us not only his grace, but the Lord has also bestowed upon us certain gifts that we can use in his ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 7 and 8, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts. Gave gifts unto men. And God, ain't you glad that God has given us gifts to use in his work? I think all of God's people have a gift, or maybe multiple gifts. But I think every one of God's people have one, and we're to take and use those gifts in the work. Now, I haven't figured out what Lee's gifts was yet, but we all have certain gifts. What do you think? I mean, it's something to think about, isn't it? Now, Brother Lee has a gift. What is Brother Lee's gift? He's jovial, whatever that means. Yeah, he's jovial. You know, when someone wants to be visited by somebody, when somebody's sick, you know who they want to see? Believe it or not, they want to see Lee. And they want to see Lee because he raises people up. Everybody here this morning, again, you have a what? You have some type of gift that you can use in the Lord's work. And that's a glorious thing to be able to use, isn't it? Use your gifts. Rick's using a gift that he has. He works with people that they're in a very trying time of their life. Their house is burnt down. And Rick goes there, and now it's changed. He's just mainly doing it. He don't really need the job, but he's doing it for a ministry. And he'll deal with people, and then people whose house burned down, he'll talk to them about the Lord, and then he'll pray with them. You imagine Rick Casto doing things like that? Think about that. Isn't that a marvelous thing? He's using that as a ministry. That's what he wants us to do, is we serve him in him, whatever capacity and way that he gives us to do. We're supposed to do that. Okay? So let's go back to our text. And every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, it says in verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Now, of course, Jesus came and he was born and lived a perfect life. Then he went to Calvary and he paid our sin debt. And then after a while, then, see in the book of Acts chapter 1, he ascended back to heaven. But when he ascended on high, it says he led captivity captive. And the idea of that is he led a multitude of captives. When did the Lord lead a multitude of captives? Well, you know who those captives are? Yeah, it's kind of depicted like when a general would come in it was called the Roman Triumph is what it was called. And when a Roman general would win a battle, they would come into Rome with all the pomp in the world. And you know what the Roman general would come in, and you know who would be behind him? The captives. Yeah, he'd come into Rome, and then there would come those captives. Well, he's using this illustration. It was called the Roman Triumph, and it was a celebration in that they won the battle, and then they had all of these captives behind them. But it says when Jesus ascended, it says that he led captivity captive, which means a multitude of captives. Who are those captives that Jesus? Who are those captives that this text is speaking of? Who are those captives? It was us. It was us. We was in the slave house of sin, wasn't we? Sinners, unclean, living in sin. And what did the Lord do? Well, he came 2,000 years ago. Why did he come? He came to pay our sin debt, and he paid our sin debt in full. And then what happened? he ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, a multitude of captives. And you know who those captives was? Us. We are the captives. And what Jesus did is he came and paid our debt so that he could set us free. And now, think how great of a gift that is. He led a multitude of captives. And what else did he do? He gave gifts unto men. Isaiah 61, turn there with me. This kind of goes with it too. Isaiah chapter 61. And the verse 1 through 3, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Listen to this. Verse 1, the Spirit, Isaiah 61, 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the what? To the captives. What's liberty mean? Freedom. Freedom to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So, the Lord has given to us grace, and I'm thankful for the grace that he's given us. And when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, the purpose why he come was to set free the captives. And those captives is us. We were sinners. We couldn't be saved without him paying our sin debt, could we? Without Jesus, where would we be at tonight? We'd still yet be in our sins. But Jesus come to set the captives what again? set the captives free. Scripture says, whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. Oh, God's people say it. I'm free, and I'm thankful for that this evening. And this text celebrates that. Let's go ahead and go back to our text in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. There's fun. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's go ahead and look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Of course, God has bestowed upon us His what? His gift. And the greatest gift that God ever bestowed upon us is what gift? Gift of grace, gift of eternal life. All of these are great gifts. Aren't you glad for the gifts that He's seen fit to bestow upon us? We sing this, and I want to read it. It says the song, I'm free. It says, I'm free from the fear of the morrow, free from the guilt of the past, for traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. All God's people say it. Now, that's the position that we're in now. So unto us is given grace. And we thank Him for that grace. And when Jesus ascended on high, He says He led a multitude of what? Captives. And who are those captives? Us. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we'd still yet be in our sin. I'm thankful for that. He set me free. He'd give me everlasting life. And that's a glorious thing to have. All right, back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And let's go ahead and begin at verse 7 again. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, He saith, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. That means a multitude of captives. We've already talked about that. And what else did He give? He gave gifts unto men. That's what He did. God gives people different kinds of gifts to serve Him in His work. Y'all agree? We don't all have the same kind of gift. But God uses different gifts for different people. And one of the things He's given us gifts for is so that we can use them in His work. There's nothing like being used in the Lord's work. And if you're here tonight and you say, well, I don't got no gifts. That's what most people say. And that's mostly just really an excuse. You got one thing you can do if you're born again. You know what it is? Be a prayer warrior. Be a prayer warrior. Pray about things. Get you a list. Pray for sick people. Pray for certain people that you'd like to be saved, like to see saved. Pray for those that are sick. There's so many things you can do. Especially, prayer is one of the greatest things you can do. If you get a church full of people that are prayer warriors, it's amazing what can get done. If you want to see people saved, what do? You pray. You pray. If you want to see somebody healed, what do? You pray. You want to see your church grow? What do? You pray. So we must do that. We must do that every day of our life is pray to the Lord. If we can get people being prayer warriors, especially in this coming year, oh my, it makes a great big difference in your church. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. And we need to ask. Now, let me ask this one more time. What are you asking God to do? That's a good question, don't you think? What are you asking God to do? You know what happens sometimes? You'll take inventory and you think, well, I ain't asking God to do anything. Remember the text. You have not because you ask not. So if you're asking for the Lord, you need to be asking for the Lord to save people. You need to ask for the Lord to add people. You need to ask for the Lord to bring back people. But you ask. And but if we, this coming year, if we do that, it makes a great big difference in what goes on in your church. Okay? Let's go back to our text. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led a multitude of captives. Those captives really are us. He's the one that saved us and paid the price for us. And he set the captives what? Free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, verse 9, now he that ascended, talking about Christ, he that ascended, what is it that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Let's talk about this just a little bit. I think this gets misunderstood a good bit. And I think it says he ascended. What is it that he first descended first into the lower parts of the into the lower parts of the earth? When did the Lord descend into the lower parts of the earth? Well, that's when he was put in the grave. It just simply means covered. It simply means covered. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Jesus was put in a grave for 3 days, right? What happened after that? He ascended. He that ascended, what is it that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Now, I don't believe this is true. I believe the passage is true. But a lot of people believe in, they call it, it's Hades. The word hell is sometimes described as Gehenna. Sometimes the word hell is described as Hades, and in the Old Testament, it's called Sheol. Sheol and Hades. And sometimes what people think is there's a holding cell that when you die, you go to that holding cell. And they think in the Scriptures, like in Psalm 16, that people don't, that Old Testament saints, for example, didn't go to heaven, that they went to Hades, a holding place, a place that was paradise. They had a paradise side, and you had a torment side. Y'all ever heard of that before? I just don't think it's true. I think Old Testament saints went to heaven. I think Old Testament saints went to heaven. You say, well, he couldn't go till Christ died. Christ's death was so sure. Hey, let me ask you a question. Think about it just here for a little bit. Did Enoch go to heaven? Did Elijah go to heaven? Well, surely he went to heaven. If he could take them to heaven, why couldn't he take the rest of them based on the coming atonement of Jesus Christ? And I think that's exactly what he did. So, Hades means the unseen state. Have you ever heard that Jesus went to hell in the book of Acts 2? You ever heard anybody say that before? That's the word Hades. You know what the word Hades means? It's the unseen state. Did Jesus go to Hades? Yes. He went in the unseen state. How did he do that? He died on Calvary. His spirit left his... You don't see a spirit. He said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my what? My spirit. His spirit went to be with the Lord. What happened after 3 days? What happened after 3 days? His spirit entered his body and he resurrected, all God's people said. So, some of these things that people say, when you really run them out, it doesn't make any common sense. It really don't. So let's go back to our text, man. Let's go back to our text. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. So Jesus, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And that's a reference to him being placed in the what again? Placed in the tomb. Now, where did Jesus go the day he died? Where did he go? I'm asking one more time. Where did he go? Went to heaven, didn't he? You want me to prove it? Remember that thief on the cross? He said, today thou shalt be with me where at? Paradise isn't in the earth, it's above the earth. Revelation 22 and verse 3. The tree of life is in the paradise of God. There ain't no holding cell in the bottom of the earth for God's people. Old Testament saints went to heaven. New Testament saints go to heaven. Both of them go to heaven. Saved by grace. What saved us? Saved based on the blood of Jesus. That's why they went. And that's why we go. Oh, God's people say it. All right. Ephesians 4. Therefore, it's verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it that he also first descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That's also used, let me give this to you. The lower parts of the earth, you're thinking of the middle of the earth, right? But the lower parts of the earth is also used to describe the mother's womb. Did y'all realize that? Let's get and turn to Psalms 139. It's also used to describe the mother's what? Mother's womb. Psalms 139. Watch this now. 13. For thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You notice how many times it says made. Notice how many times it says made. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made. When I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. What's that spot talking about? The mother's womb. That's what it's referring to. The mother's womb. See, it's called the lower parts of the earth. All God's people say it. So it's referred to as that. Okay? When Jesus died, he went into the lower parts of the earth. What went in the lower parts of the earth? Where was Jesus' body put at when he died? Went to the tomb, didn't it? That's covered. That's the lower parts of the earth. He didn't go to hell and suffer for 3 days. He paid our hell on Calvary. All God's people see it. That's where he paid the price at. And then what did he do? Well, he ascended. After he paid the price, he ascended. So the tomb is called the lower parts of the earth, and the womb is called the lower parts of the earth. Jesus told you, beloved, listen to me. He told you where he was going. Right there on the cross, in one of those 7 statements he made on the cross. Here's what he said. Today, thou shalt be with me, where at? Paradise isn't under the earth. Paradise is above the earth. As a matter of fact, Revelation 22:3 says the tree of life is in the paradise of God. All God's people say it. That's where he went. When Jesus' spirit left his body, he commended his spirit. He said, Father, unto thine hands I commend my... He told you where he was going. Paradise, he commended his spirit to the Father. And then after 3 days, re-entered his body, and out of that tomb he came. Christ was the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ was the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first to resurrect, never to. Now, there's other people resurrected, but they all died again. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. In 1 Corinthians 15 says, afterwards, we're still in that afterwards time. Afterwards, they that are Christ, when? At his coming. That's what it says. All God's people say it. It's a glorious thing. All right, let's go back to Ephesians and wind this up. I hope it made sense to you this evening so far. Yeah, I got probably a little bit too much. I was taught that in Bible college by the dean. Got to go a little bit farther every now and again. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's go ahead in verse 10. And he descended, he that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Everybody see it? He that ascended was he that descended first into lower parts of the earth. He that descended, that's the one to come down, is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all in all. It's a glorious thing right there, beloved. He ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all in all. Verse 11, we'll close with this text. And he gave some. He's talking about different special office that he gave. He gave some apostles. Now, I want you to understand about an apostle was a special office. It required certain, it had certain qualifications for it. And one qualification was you had to physically, with your eyes, they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. You had to see him. So you have all these people today claiming to be claiming to be apostles. And one of the qualifications of that is seeing him in his resurrected body, but not only that, trained by him. So there's a lot of people today that's claiming to be that, but they're not that. The apostolic office, I believe, died out with the last apostle. I don't think you have apostles today. You got people saying that, but I don't think they are. I don't think they are. It was a special office filled by special men. He gave some apostles, some prophets. Now, I done said I don't believe there's apostles today. I think their office is done. I think they served to teach the churches up until the completion of the scriptures. And now we got the scriptures. And also uses the term prophets. You see the word prophets? I'm not a prophet. When God spoke to a prophet, he spoke to them through a vision or a dream. I get nervous when people start talking about dreams and visions today. You say, why is that? Because it leads people right out of the Bible, for one thing. You get to watch it on TV sometimes, and there will be a prophet or an apostle on there, and they'll tell you what God, they'll say, here's what God told me that we should do. Now, buddy, when people start talking that way, you need to turn it off. Because they're after your check is what they're after. That's exactly what they're after. God told me to tell you to do this. How many preachers do you hear tell people to do that? Here's what you do. You say, well, when God tells me, I'll do it. And that'll stop all that stuff. Mm-mm-mm. It's a shame. Good, smart people sometimes go to those places and still fall prey to it. Beloved, God don't speak directly. Hollis, does God speak directly to you from a verbal voice from heaven? Me neither. You know how God speaks today, beloved? He speaks through his book. We got the whole book. I believe that prophecy ceased with the completion of the Bible. Will y'all stand with me on that? It ceased with the completion of the scriptures. If you want to know what God has to say, you go to his book and read it, and you go to his house and hear it preached. All God's people see it. Has to be. Has to be that way. Must be that way. Okay. Prophets, evangelists, it's basically a missionary. An evangelist is basically a missionary. I think that's what an evangelist is. Some pastors and teachers. Now, a lot of people think that this should be together. And it may be true. that a pastor is a teacher. Pastor, teacher. And I kind of agree with that. Do you? Pastor, teacher. A pastor is supposed to be a teacher. I've heard people say, now you know he ain't a very good preacher. He's just a teacher. Preacher is a teacher. Y'all agree? And one of the first qualifications, if not the first qualification, is he has to have the ability to teach. Apt to teach is one of the qualifications of a pastor. Well, I'm thankful tonight that God has pastor teachers, aren't you? And you should pray for them and pray that the Lord would help them in sharing God's word with people. That's one thing. Let me tell you about being a pastor. It's more than just saying you got to do. You got to practice what you preach. You agree? You ain't much of a teacher if you don't practice what you preach. So what you teach, you make sure you practice it, because if you don't practice it, I hate to say it, then you're a hypocrite. Judas was a hypocrite. He was in. I think Jesus established the first church, and he ran with the first church and sat under the greatest preacher that ever walked this planet. But he wasn't true. He was false. He was false. Jesus said, I chose you 12, and one of you is a devil. That's what he said. Right there in the midst of the 12. So, beloved, tonight we're mainly looking at spiritual gifts that the Lord gives God's people. We need to continue to pray that the Lord would move people in our church and continue to save people and move people into using their gifts. We want everybody. I think the Lord brings people because he fitly frames the body together. And we need as many as we can get. Oh, God's people said. Sorry for preaching so long.